Some NIMFM listeners may have their ear drives somewhat tinged with red on the content of this next show. Please don't be afeard and come back later.
You're listening to
Kaput.
Kaput.
Completely Kaput.
Kaput Radio.
Hello, I'm Martin, and I welcome you to Kaput Radio. Today, I share with you poetry from the recent Nimmin Poetry Cup, courtesy of Mim's recording for our community radio. So friends, today's show is all very close to my home. Let's start with Doubting Thomas, dripping his salt into the wounds of the great hypocrisy.
Hey man, hey, do you want to save a tree today, man?
First it's tragedy, then it's fast.
Hey sister, I like your shoes, man. Hey, do you want to save a tree today? Yeah, right. Hey, brother, we can be the change, man. Do you want to save a tree today? Yeah, right. You're being mugged for charity. Save a tree today.
It all starts so seemingly sincere. A hand outstretched to meet me, and a smug smile plastered between two self-righteous student ears. Next come questions loaded heavier than budget airline carry-on cases. Distorted facts squash global issues into soundbite spaces. We can but nod and look concerned as the guilt sermon proceeds, and hear of our special chance to become the precious hand that feeds. But there are fundamental flaws with the causes of these charity mugging scum that separate the means and ends of how liberal capitalism won the right to make us pay to continue a cycle of abuse. Sorry that we're killing you, mate, but we'll cushion up the noose. But let's step away from the gallows and get back to the outstretched hand. Hi, I'm Jess. Nice to meet you. I know you're busy. I just wonder, have you got 2 minutes to spare? All right, stop. Right there. We have reached the first of a wide variety of problems with our forthcoming interaction, Jess. Because if I say yes, I know you will beckon me on a guilt trip with you that will last half an hour or more as you bleed all over the pavement for the latest under-donated cause, social justice flavor of the month, chosen by your employer. You do get paid for this, don't you, Jess? Yeah. And you get a percentage, you know, for every sale. Subscription that you make. Right, I just want to be clear as I'm weighing up the options of whether or not I'm going to be stopping. Because if I say no, though, I know the look of disgust that you shoot me will make passers-by think, what did he just say to her to get a look like that? He must have called her a cunt. Yeah, what a bastard. I bet he drives a Hummer with the windows down and the aircon on high, swigging coke as he drives by and thinks that the sweatshirt stained into his Levi's makes them shine real nice. Yeah, I don't give a fuck, eh, Jess? I think that people with cataracts in Calcutta should just stop complaining and open their eyes, and the refugees in Afghanistan should stay there, tear their humanitarian visas into confetti that they shower over the soldiers as they storm into their houses, down on their knees saying, thank you for your charity. Now they must have trained Jess well in NGO sales school, as her PR-proof vest deflects my cynicism with one flash of that still, smug smile. And she reaches in deep and pulls out the heart-seeking missile line. But think of the children. Oh, that's right. Wait, let me guess, Jess. For the cost of a coffee a day, what are we gonna do? Donate a fair trade espresso shot of sympathy back to the same kids that probably picked my caffeine beans anyway? You're gonna have to grind me a better line than that. Well, with so many problems on a global scale, it's understandable that as individuals, we can often feel powerless to change anything. That's because we are, Jess. No matter how many dollars I donate to you, the scales are never going to be balanced because they are weighed way in favor of big business and endless growth. And the people you work for are endlessly devoted to both. What you are doing is proving that the market can swallow shit and spit back out silver. You're like a reverse Robin Hood, enslaved to the sheriff with a gross inability to budget. So please don't mock me as I pass and don't return smiles on your command. This place is depressing enough already without having to fake a grin as I take your hand. You shake it and pretend to like the band I'm listening to, and then tell me that I've got like a totally awesome beard, dude. And then when the small talk's over, you'll get back to the hard sell and tell me about there's this community in sub-Saharan Africa that like desperately needs a well, and that's a well-worn tactic, Jess. You've got to personalize the case study of suffering so it tugs real good at the heartstrings. A strange thing then, that at no point in human history have so many of us lived in such relative security, freedom, and wealth. But we need you to stealth jump out into the path of proles, armed with everything but the switchblade as you try to pry a contribution from us to prove that deep down we still care. Hell, even the clowns in this circus must despair to think that the invisible hand has us choked up against the wall with a gun to our head whispering, "Think of the children, you selfish fuck." But as the largest NGO charity in the world, we're able to take your voice and multiply it up so that we can lobby government on a large scale. You must agree with that, no? No, I don't, Jess. And I think that far from aiding, you're abetting, bloodletting to keep the wound fresh. And getting government to go green is not a desirable objective, it's a distraction, Jess, from the disaster where MasterChef brewing, a distraction just like you are, not in the objectivized, I wonder if more middle-class, middle-aged men will donate if we employ hot chicks kind of way. But the shoes you're filling are spilling attention away from the fact that charity under a capitalist structure will always look like another sugar-coated poison pill-marked remedy. I know, we'll fuck things up on purpose and then sell them back some sympathy sweets to suck on, because the plantation owners are befriending their slaves and sending them spectacles so they can see the sugarcane more clearly. But don't you want to be part of the solution? What solution was that, Jess? Where is it? I did not get that memo, though, because I haven't read the one about how we ironed out all the threats of nuclear war or competing religious claims to the same sacred spaces or the impending hordes of climate refugees that are fast approaching our borders. Yet somehow, we are all holding hands united, skipping off to our vision of a free and fairer world, thanking all the while the self-appointed clipboard-bearing anorak attackers for enlightening us from a burden of a world where all we needed to do was choose to be part of the fucking solution. But if you donate to our charity on a monthly basis, you'll sleep with a clearer conscience. I don't want a clearer conscience, Jess. I want a whole clean slate. I want a straight clearing of the table that is only being kept stable by the toiling of beggars beneath it, pleading for scraps while we banquet upstairs on the breasts of brazen bull. And we have the audacity to stand here in branded jackets on the high street of Empire, pressuring slightly more privileged peasants into putting their spare cash towards ensuring these table scraps are kept free range and fair trade. We are paying to preserve a cycle of abuse. Sorry we're killing you, mate. We'll cushion up your noose. These are 1,000 feel-good factor prunings instead of a striking at the root. The violence that keeps this all in place is meticulously hidden, much like the meaning of the social guilt script you're being given. But it's okay, though, because the consumer can contribute to change through conscious dollar. I hear that's a big dollar, Bill. We will care so you don't have to. We will care so you don't have to be informed for any longer than it takes to transfer funds. So as the CEO of Greenpeace runs off to consult with the mines, true story, the resistance members retire open shops to sell retro eco product lines, charity webs will always leave us caught in suffering traps. When fishing for answers, I have been baited so many times, I should be pierced both cheeks through. This squealing pig is stuck. So come on, Jess, hook me up. Hook me up.
Alright friends, let's come a bit down to earth with Back to Nimmin by David Hallett.
3 Nimbin poems. Undercover, undercover. Have you heard about the brother who is undercover and he's undercover just to catch his brother? He's a mother of a brother. He's a brother fucking brother. And you see him in the pub, you see him in the park, you catch him in the gutter, you pass him in the dark. He's there on the street, at the party on the beach, and when the band starts pumping, 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 he's a dancing to the beat, dancing to the beat. He's looking really cool and he's looking kind of rough, but he always talks nice, never talks stuff, and he says, oh, can't you help me, brother? Can't you help me, sister? I really, really, really need a hit. Just a bit. Just a tiny little bit, just a teeny weeny winchy one tiny little bit, or a big bit. You're a big hit. Oh, can't you help me, brother? Can't you please me, sister? Can't you help me, brother? Can't you please me, sister? I'm cool. She's sweet. I don't bring out the heat, so please, please me. Don't tease me. Just to give me a taste or a treat or a little bit of sweet. Thank you, brother, and thank you, sister. And this is my friend, Mister. This is my gun, and this is my badge, and this is the judge, and boy, you've been had. Easter parade. They drive on up from the city of Yup. They come on down to the radical town, the one street village of the hippie and the clown. Ye old hairy man and young barefoot woman with suckling babes, Mrs. No Bras and Mr. Battered Cars. They window shop, they smell the pot, they sniff the calf, but they don't stop. No cash or coins bulge their fashion line, for their credit card is razor fine. It cuts a slice they can call mine, simply divine, and it's mine. They ask, where are the real hippies in their mire? And we say, are you standing on one side? Yeah. Is that chap really chained to a dog? And his mate looks the queen of the bog. Triffids, Daleks, zombies, psycho movie extras, and the great unwashed old god. But come ye Easter bunnies, on a crucifixion dawn, we're nailing chocolate-coated junkies onto crosses so forlorn. Not with nails, but syringes, and not for soft heart freak show cringes, but for the crowds and the cameras and the mums and dads and kids. Tunnel vision unscrews from their third eye. It guides them safe back to their cars and goodbye. We dust their footprints from our face, climb down from the cross and clean up the place. Barry hoses, shopkeepers sweep, and the scavengers lick nuggets from the street. The streets of Nimbin are lined with mud over gold, lined with a purple-green weed that's worth as gold. With peace and guns and plenty and poverty and law and anarchy. Come and see. Or better still, piss off. Labels. There's hippies and yuppies and greenies and couriers and junkies and drinkies. Smokers and tokers and dope thieves and jokers and the mopers. There's ball kickers and ball hitters and ball terrors with pit bull terriers. There's drummers and dancers and dipsic and dubbos, yobbos and turos, musos and pregos and embryos, journos and photos and lesos and homo sapiens and hetero sapiens and never for their fucking lives going to be sapiens. There are stoned builders and mud brickers and organic effluent pail plumbers and joiners, metal men and Amazons and the goddess in the kitchen. There's painters and poets, thank God, and potters. And butchers and bakers and candlestick makers, cobblers and weavers and wood turners and tailors, mad hatters, mask makers, face painters, and the good old Animan, a glass, a bead, a game, shake, oh. There's yogas and bubbas and babies and swamen and shaman and shemen and sufis and surfers and skaters and bikers and ferals and herbals and dealers and wankers and yankees and jappies and jerrys and frumpies and mad Irish. To be shipwrecked on the main street of Nimbin. To be washed out, watered down, unemployed, uninspired, to be youth, yuck! To be a teenager, worse still, in secondary, primary, infant, preschool, daycare, aftercare, careless, carefree, without a care. To be unheard, unknown, just to be seen and smelled, oh, who is that, and passed on the street. A pedestrian, a shopper, a robber, a dobber, a copper, a loiter, a waiter, a talker, a laser tongue, an outpatient, a schizo, a dips of a zombie, to be a runaway, to be a coffee stop, to be the froth. And farmers and grazers and graders and dozers, horticos and agros, to be a shooter, to be shot. There are cyberpunks and funkies and goblins and gothics and rasters and rats, day trippers and night trippers, and trapped in their trips, completely tripped out trippy tickers, turned on tantric telltellers, divine lighters and the takeaway diners. There's ex-lawyers and ex-doctors and ex-priests and just exes that get together and doesn't work out, they're ex-exes. There's ex-teachers and ex-Krishnas, and we in Nimbin are all awaiting the ex-New South Wales Police Commissioner. Shall be any day now. In my village, there are people just called X and Y, and why bloody not? And there's Zuma and Zero and Zara and Zora and Tonto. Scores of kids, some of them mine call Sun, Moon, Tree, Riven, Rainforest, and there's Marley and Charlie and Chai and Ty and Teabag and Tick and Flea and Fly. Kid you not, one family, five children, Fallow and Fallon and Tallow and Talon and Zen. Back on the street, there's Cheech and Chong and Beach and Thong and Bong. The list, Inniman, as you can imagine, goes on and on. There's Felix and Phoenix and Ryder and Blossom and Leaf and Dove and Raven and Haven and Kevin and Melody and Harmony and Norm and Storm and Rosebud and Thorn. In my village of Nimmin, there are young men out there who are so goddamn turf because they just can't get a nerf because they only get to surf on 2 feet of concrete turf. There are skateboards chasing yuppies and punks, little pet puppies. And they've got chains from their knees to their toes to their navel to their nose to their eyebrow to their foreskin to their tit. And they say, doesn't hurt a bit, except they laugh, ha ha, ouch. Or try to take a bath, which is most unlikely. Let's get serious here. There are the little old ladies who worry about the babies being bitten by the crazies with HIV, rabies, and worst of all, nits and scabies. The blue rinse, the platter, the bald, and the matter. There's merchants and vendors and 20-minute money lenders. There's pub crawlers, street brawlers, pallbearers, and hall carers. There's DMR and there's RTA, there's DEA and there's CES, or there used to be, there's SS, or there used to be, there's DOs and there's far too many ODs, there's MOs, it's the communes. And spiritually speaking, there are still quite a few OMs out in the hills, ordnance officers, ambulance officers, project officers and case managers on all of your cases. There's youth workers and needle workers and council workers and street sweepers and toilet cleaners who used to be dreamers. Movie makers, cake bakers, on the make takers, crystal ball fakers, and the famous Nimbin didgeridoo wielding natty dreadlock congo bongo hippie trippy shakers. There are narcs dressed as nuns, dressed as surfies wearing guns. There are schoolboys dressed as homeboys who run away from home. They got much too much attitude to live in a teepee or a dome, thank you, Mum. They're tough and independent, they've got speed, they've got no car. They say, oh, I'm an Australian individual. Dressed as an American basketball star, slam dunking and funky junking. The writing is right across the wall. But if the graffiti's bad for business, just hear the developer scream his call. Call a meeting, call a media, call a public, fill the hall. Call the police, call the choppers, and watch my village, rise and fall to be lovers. To be leftovers, to be left, right, up, down, us, to be around and around and around and around and around us. Weekend workshoppers and codependent conference hoppers. Midlife crises for the midwives with vices and a shotgun divorces over hemp and horses. To be labels, you know, to be bloody labelled by people. To be glue sniffers of stick-on labels right here. Brothers and sisters, in the cafes and pubs and clubs and bars and schools and jobs and travel on the road from Babel to Babylon, from Brisbane to Bourke to Boggabri, from Beirut to Belgrade to Baghdad, don't go there, from Berlin to Boulder to Birmingham to bloody Bali to Byron Bay and finally back to Nimbin Town.
And finally, let's space out together with Zelly Oops.
Tonight's contest must ultimately prove to be one of the most fierce battles ever fought on this ground. I was just talking to little Lenny Lucifer, and he told me that Get Behind Me Satan's a little sore after the last outing, but he assured me he won't be scratched unless, of course, he gets an itch, and he moves in nicely. Next to him, Sammy Sparta steers Battlefield into the box. And next to him, there's Alec Iliad, the great Greek jockey sitting high on his mount. And who's this barging their way through? It's Lou York, who's become a little impatient on free market and gone in early. Gladiator's in, so too democracy, all is set. We're waiting for the starter's gun. Quiet on the ground. And they're racing! First out, God's Desire, followed by the word with Get Behind Me, Satan, looking devilish in third place. As we pass the third millennium post, it's all God's Desire creating a universe out front, while in second place the word resounds in our brains. But just watch the mysterious Ignathan Sphinx as he gets under pyramid power now and levitates over little Lenny Lucifer and tells him to get behind me, Satan is pyramid Bauhof is down into third place. But out front showing us the way, it's all God's desire by a divine head. But the word's now losing focus. Now pyramid power's transmogrified second. But here comes barbarian beauty. But it's mummy's revenge. And their whore of Babylon who puffs out her chest and threatens the Egyptians as little Freddy Babel goes for the whip on the whore and will hit the lead as we pass under the gates of Ishtar. But you can't keep a great Greek jockey down because Alex Iliad on the reason of Socrates has just thought himself into first place. The Babylonians are gone. Now it's Sammy Sparta on battlefield who makes his move. There's blood all over the track. We knew this was going to be a dangerous race. Oh no, just watch the Italian stallion now as Caesar's savage banquet barges his way through the Greek deli to challenge the reason of Socrates, who soon loses his reason, his life, and his lunch. But the Greek won't be forgotten. Now it's Caesar's savage banquet tasting good all around the Mediterranean, so too Cleopatra's asp. But it's the rebellious Russell Crowe riding hard on Gladiator, but out front by a Roman nose, it's all a Caesar's savage banquet, Gladiator dangerous in second, with Colosseum capers playful in third place. Now, who's this dropping out of the human race? It's Buddha's compassion. Prove too much blood and bone for him. As we change calendars now for Jesse Christ on his Mount Jerusalem way, who's miraculously manifested second place. But out in the Roman villa's garden, Caesar's banquet is beginning to go off because here comes barbarian beauty and she's attacking from the north. Oh my God, barbarian beauty has just stood on the Caesar's savage banquet and the whole pack's come plummeting down. There's been a terrible fall on the track, folks. Only get behind me, Satan picks his way through the fallen. There's no sign the stewards are calling off the human race now that Jesse Christ has been resurrected and everyone looks to his Mount Jerusalem way for guidance. Entering the dark ages now, here comes Pagan's picnic. She's neck and neck with get behind me, Satan, though verily it's all Jesse Christ on Jerusalem way gathering believers as we gallop through the medieval period. But here comes Pope Pius Vampire the 33rd, who goes for the whip on Mia Culpa, but it'll be Mickey Mongol on Kublai's blade, who's a shocking surprise from the east. Now it's Fatwa on Jihad of Arabia who makes a go, but he won't go unchallenged, because here comes Crusader's itch, raping, burning, and pillaging his way through the Holy Lands. Fatwa stands strong, while out in the medieval cloister, Mea Culpa's appears to be losing credibility, now that Luther's illumination has nailed his manifesto on the second plane. But just watch the ill-tempered Henry Tudor barging his way through and joining the fun on the head of Anne Boleyn. So Walter Raleigh's there, giving all he's got on Lizzie's day. Guillotine glory turning the track red. Let's face it, no one knows what's happening, folks. But here comes Napoleon Bonaparte brandishing his whip on short man syndrome. But it'll be the morbid yet very plucky Vicky Regina on the Empire's booty who will pull away nicely, thank you, ma'am. In second place, Jesse Christ is still saying his prayers on Jerusalem Way. Out front by an army in a Raj, it's all the Empire's booty. Holy shit, in all my years of racing, I've never seen another one like this as the Führer's favourite puffs out his chest, yah, and goose steps himself into first place, yah, yah. Empire's booty is crumbling, Sir Winston is there. Now it's Tokyo Rose who falls from the sky on Kamikaze Delight to join the Führer's favourite going ballistic in the lead. This bad-tempered pair's biting everyone in sight, but here come the cavalry folks, as little boy on Enola Gay goes after Kamikaze Delight with a bang. In first place, Free Market stands on the Führer's favourite and immediately starts carving up the third world. Enola Gay looking brutal in second, while in third place, Hollywood is growing fat on bullshit. But just watch little Joey Stalin now as he's murdering his way through the pack on Kinky Gremlin. Now, who's this falling on the track? It's bricks of Berlin, who takes Kinky Kremlin and Chernobyl Babe with him. Back in the land of the free, Christian militias having a revelation on Armageddon. As we pass the plutonium-enriched second millennium post, I'm afraid, and you've got no idea how afraid I am, that any one of these four horses of the apocalypse may win the human race. Free market, Armageddon, Anolagaya, or bullshit. But they won't go unchallenged, because Fatwa has returned, and he's whipping Jihad of Arabia up into a frenzy. But it's very unsporting of Fatwa, because he's just turned round and struck Lou York across the face. It's a very nasty blow at ground zero. Free market wobbling but safe. It's all an eye for an eye and a bullet for a barrel of oil. Now Jihad of Arabia is being hemmed in on the rails by preemptive, which allows free market through. Armageddon always explosive and third. But where's Fatwa and Jihad? They've simply vanished, believed to be hiding in a cave at the bottom of the sea, leaving preemptive searching for democracy on the rails. As this axis of evil hits the straightest of straights, and a left field's right wing from down under comes Kevin 007. Too late to say sorry again, he's just been knifed in the back by Julia's surprise. But really, folks, much more substantial is Hillary's promise, talking up big out front, while round the outside comes Barack Obama on I Had Martin Luther's Dream. It's Hillary, it's Osama, no, it's Obama. But hold. Fukushima! Will you look at this ugly radioactive monster explode into the lead? All the others are frustrated or fallen away, except for Greenpeace, who's riding heroically now on Save the Day, who's desperately trying to ram, oh, Fukushima, as this ugly brute slides into the seven seas. We interrupt this program to a notice that the human race has self-terminated.
Thank you for listening again. You heard a collection of poetry from the most recent held Poetry Cup in Nimbin, courtesy of Mims Recordings. So this is all for today from the local scene here. But I'd might like to mention you heard Delting Thomas, David Hallett, Zenny Oops. And what else to say? You can contact me. If you wish to contact me, please visit radio4all.net, search for Kaput X Radio, and then proceed to the contact producer link and send me your email with the available inbox. Appreciate that. Thank you. Considering all the world focus is on the erratic world economy and how it plays out in various places for various people, I share Adam Hill's sentiment for the next episode. And until then, I'm Martin. Catch you later.
Tonight we return like a dog to its own vomit to the subject of banks.
KaputRadio.libsyn.com.